Welcome back to our series called Receive. Receive. We're talking about all the wonderful, amazing, incredible gifts that God wants to give us and how we can best receive those gifts into our lives. Most of us these days, I think, are seriously overwhelmed. I could ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure every hand in this church would be raised. We're all seriously overwhelmed and stretched way too thin. There are so many demands placed on us, right? The boss calls, you have to work all weekend because he wants that report on his desk Monday morning. You have to cancel your vacation plans because an extended family member get sick and is in the hospital. You have to postpone your date night with your spouse or partner and because some friend calls and is complaining about the most recent trauma in her life and you feel like you have to listen. The list goes on and on. We often get so caught up in other people's problems, requests, needs, and interests that we end up following their agendas instead of our own. But your relationship with God is different. God is not a taker. God is a giver. God just wants to give you good things and for you to receive those good things from Him. He wants you to receive His favor and His love. He wants you to breathe easy in His grace for a time. Yes, we're made to serve God and to give back to other people. I'm not denying that. But we're also created to receive the great gifts that God wants to give us. Today, I want to talk with you about one of those great gifts, and I'm sure you can guess what it is since it is Pentecost Sunday. It is the gift of God's Spirit. I want to talk with you about receiving God's Spirit in your life. In the Old Testament, the ancient prophet Joel prophesied that one day God would pour out His Spirit on everyone. That day has come. You have the Spirit. In fact, you wouldn't be here today if the Spirit of God had not encouraged you to come. The Spirit lives within you. You carry the Spirit around wherever you go. But there is a tiny little catch, and it is this. For the Spirit to really show up in your life, you have to activate the Spirit. And one way you can activate the Spirit is by speaking in the Spirit. What am I talking about? Maybe I don't know. No, I do know. What I'm talking about is that words matter, right? What we say is important. How you speak either sets God's plans and promises into motion or keeps them from happening. The vocabulary you use, the language you use, determines whether you will be able to receive those gifts or cancel them out because you're blocking those gifts. Your language is important, and how you speak matters. I want to give you a practical example of that. When I was 16, I went to France on a trip with my class. I was in French class, and it was a long flight. We got there late in the afternoon, and when we arrived at the hotel in Paris, our teacher told us to go to our rooms, check in, you know, get settled, and then meet back down in the lobby at 6 o'clock for dinner. 6 o'clock sharp, he said. Well, I decided, you know, I was tired, it was a long flight, so I decided to take a short little nap, only I overslept. So I raced down to the lobby 5 minutes late, only to find that the entire class and the teacher had left, leaving me behind. I was furious. I was hungry. I was scared. What was I going to do with myself while they were gone? How was I going to eat? What was I going to eat? I was too frightened to go out by myself. After a few minutes of this pity party, I resolved to not let this get the better of me, and I made a plan. I decided that I would put my big toe in the water of a strange country by going out to mail a postcard that I had written. That was my big adventure. If that went well, maybe I would do something else. Maybe I'd get dinner somehow. But that was my little adventure, and my plan was to ask someone on the street, I was going to practice my French by asking them where the post office was. Sounds like a good plan, right? So I left the hotel full of determination, and after a few blocks, I came across a group of French men at an outdoor cafe, and they were sitting around a little table drinking coffee and chatting with one another and smoking cigarettes, which I shouldn't be doing, but you know how it is. So I walk up to them, and I say in my best 16-year-old French, "Excusez-moi, où est la poste, s'il vous plaît?" Does anybody speak French here? Does anybody do you know what I just said? Yeah, what did I say? Where's the post office, please? Excuse me, where's the post office, please, right? I was pretty proud of myself, right? I was very proud of myself. Those 4 years of French I had taken were about to pay off big time, except they didn't. They didn't. The men looked at each other and kind of smirked and then gestured like, "We have no idea what you're talking about." So I tried again. Same response. A third time, still nothing. Finally, after four times of saying exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, they seemed to understand. One of the men said, "Ah, La Poste," and pointed to a building across the street. Now, you know that they were just playing with me, right? They were just toying with me. They understood what I was asking, but they were making fun of my bad French. They knew I wasn't speaking the language well enough. My accent was clearly off. I wasn't saying it right, so I wasn't able to get what I needed, at least right away. When we know the right language and are able to speak it, then doors open for us. With the correct words, we are able to gain access to what we need and what we want. Nearly every profession or occupation has a specialized language that only people in that profession know. Like lawyers speak legalese. Computer people talk in computer jargon. Police officers communicate with dispatchers using 10 codes, you know, like 10-4 for "I'm okay" or "I understand." And then air traffic controllers guide pilots, they direct pilots using what's called aviation English, which includes one of my favorite slogans that never, never gets old. Feel free to use this in front of me all the time. Roger that. Anyway, the point is you have to speak the language to get something done. How we speak about our faith determines whether we are able to activate the Spirit in our life. How we speak about our faith determines whether we are able to activate the Spirit in our life. The Scripture says that let us hold unwaveringly to our profession of faith that gives us hope. So when you speak words of hope, when you speak about your hope in God, you're saying that you expect Him to come through for you. By professing your faith that God is going to make good on His promises, those promises become real. The more we say what we believe, the more we believe what we say. I'm going to say that again. The more we say what we believe, the more we believe what we say. And that is what activates the Spirit in our life. There was a time when language experts believed that we all think in the same way, even though we speak different languages. But the research today says exactly the opposite. Language affects how we think. What we say shapes our thoughts. It's the same with faith. When you speak words of faith, it affects how you think about your faith. The more you speak words of faith, the more you come to believe those words, and that's what opens the door for the Spirit to act in your life. When I was first thinking about becoming a priest, I went to talk to an older gentleman, a man of faith. He was a mentor of mine. He said, "Roger, the first thing you have to do is learn the vocabulary of the church." I didn't understand what he meant at first, but then it became clear to me. What he meant is that the more I spoke the language of faith, the more I would come to understand what God was doing in my life, and the more the Spirit would be able to lead me in that direction. So I started studying the Scripture, the words of Scripture, and praying in the words of the ancient texts. And you know what happened? My faith went deep into my soul. It didn't just stay on my lips, it traveled down into my heart and my mind. And the more I spoke words of what I believed, the more I believed them, the more real my belief became, and God's promises as well. The words of faith that I spoke allowed God to act in my life. By speaking words of faith, by speaking in the Spirit, I activated the Spirit who led me to my destiny of standing here before you today, preaching the Word of God and celebrating Mass. The Apostle Paul once said, "I believed, therefore I spoke." But it also works in the opposite direction. We speak, and therefore we believe. There is an ancient Latin saying that goes all the way back to the 5th century of the church. It's lex orandi, lex credendi, which means the law of prayer determines the law of belief. In other words, what we say in prayer becomes what we believe in our hearts. It becomes what we believe in our hearts. At Pentecost, when the first disciples of Jesus received the Spirit of God, the first reading tells us that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began speaking in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. They were speaking in the Spirit. They were speaking in the Spirit. And then what happened after this passage was amazing. Peter, who had been speaking in the Spirit, stood up and gave the most important speech of his entire life. Because of his words, 3,000 people that day were baptized and began following Jesus. And after that, everything was different. The apostles were able to change the course of human history forever because they spoke words of faith with incredible boldness. Even when the authorities tried to intimidate them and threaten them, they just said, "It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." I know, we have to speak. It's impossible for us to speak, not to speak about what we've seen and heard. That was their destiny. See, Jesus had said to them a while back that they would be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. That was their God-given purpose. That was their destiny. And by speaking words of faith, they grew in faith, they activated the Spirit, and they unlocked their destiny. Each one of you here today has a destiny. No matter what your age is or where you are in life, you have a purpose that God has given you. That's what I mean when I say you have a destiny. You have a purpose that God wants to give you and unlock for you, and it's going to be wonderful for you. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. It was for me. The way to do that, the way to set your destiny in motion, is to do what the apostles did. To speak words of faith. Activate the Spirit that you have received from God. Activate the Spirit with words of faith. The only question is whether you are going to speak the words that you hear from your Father in heaven or whether you will speak the words you hear from the Father of lies. In the gospel today, Jesus promised to send the Spirit of truth and that this Spirit would only speak what he hears from the Father, nothing else. But the father of lies, the enemy, will always try to convince us of other things. The enemy will speak to us in lies in the hope that we will accept those lies about our lives. I hear this from people all the time, the problems that they're going through, the difficulties that they face. And the lies that are placed on their lips, things like, I'm never going to be able to sell my business and get out from underneath this mountain of debt and this huge stress I have. No one's going to give me that high-paying job. I'm too old for that. I'm going to have to move out of my house. I can't afford it anymore. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to feel well. My children aren't going to practice the faith. And on it goes. I'm not going to get out of debt. And so on and so on. We hear these lies constantly, and the battle is not to accept them. You have the power and the opportunity to speak those lies right out of existence. Jesus once told his disciples, even with a small amount of faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. These are the words of Jesus. By speaking words of faith, you are able to move that mountain of doubt right out of your way, that mountain of regret, that mountain of fear, that mountain of anxiety, that mountain of depression and despair, that mountain of lack, every mountain that blocks you from a better, more fulfilling, more joyful life with God. You have the power to move right out of the way by speaking words of faith. Or there'll be naysayers in your life, and they'll tell you, oh, just accept your situation. It's the way it goes. You know, downsize instead of looking for that other job, or just bury into your practice instead of trying to sell it, or whatever, you know. People will naysay you all the time, but you can say, no thanks. I choose to speak words of faith. Thoughts will tell you that burden you're carrying around is going to be there forever. You might as well get used to it, but you can say, no thanks. I choose to speak words of hope. People will tell you to give up on this or that, give up on your relationship, get out of that troubled marriage, whatever it is. You can say, no thanks. I choose to speak words of love. You have the opportunity to turn curses into blessings, graves into gardens, prose into poetry, grumbling into gratitude, and despair into victory simply by the words you choose to speak. Psalm 107 tells a story of how God turned around the misfortunes of people who cried out to him. And at one point, the psalmist says, let all the redeemed say so. In other words, let them speak, let them be heard, let them tell of the salvation that they won in God, how God turned around their misfortune. Let them say so. God has given you a well-trained tongue. You are well able to speak words of faith. You have received the Spirit. Now speak in the Spirit of that which you know is true. God, I know you love me. I know you formed me in my mother's womb. I know you intend to prosper me. I know you will provide for me. I know you will protect me. I know you will be with me through every dark valley. You are called and equipped and blessed and lifted up, and you are favored by God. As Catholics, I think we forget this sometimes. How favored we are. How loved we are. I was asking somebody this the other day, do you know how much you are loved by God? The answer was, sometimes, occasionally. No, we are highly favored by God. Now speak that. Speak that into reality. Speak that into your heart and soul. Activate the Spirit by words of faith. Set in motion your destiny with the language of hope, and switch on God's blessings through His Spirit with the words of love that come forth from your lips. After all, the Bible says, let all the redeemed say so. So can I get an amen? Amen. Amen.